Welcome back.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Killer Babes. This is the podcast where we talk about true crime and weird stuff in New England. I'm Katie.
And I'm Kirby.
Yes. And it's Memorial Day weekend. So happy Memorial Day, everybody.
Happy Memorial Day.
I think this will actually be coming out on Memorial Day. So hope you guys are enjoying yourselves in this beautiful weather.
Gorgeous weather.
Crazy.
It's been like 75 down here in New England.
Yeah. And it's been like 75 years since it's been like 75.
Yeah.
I mean, my body is not acclimated to it yet.
Mm-hmm. And a little disclaimer, if Katie sounds a little stuffy, it's because she is.
Because I've been stuffy for like 2 weeks. I'm going to kill myself.
Do you think it's allergies?
No, I don't. I've never had allergies. Everyone keeps saying that, but I've never had allergies. But then also everyone is saying that they developed allergies in their 20s. Like everyone at work
can.
So I'm like, shit. But I was like sick. Like I stayed home from work the other day.
Yeah.
Like it was a bad sore throat. Now it's just like, meh.
You should just try like a allergy pill and see what happens.
I mean, it is getting better though with each day. So I feel, I don't know. We'll see. I'll update you guys on my sickness and just if it's allergies and if I have to go on allergy medications now because I'm an old lady. But yeah, feeling better.
Good. Well, you were a trooper last night. Last night we did something fun.
Yeah, we went to Boston Calling, everybody. It was super fun.
Yeah, this is my first year. I've never gone
Mine
before.
Mine too. Yeah,
I didn't know what to expect, but I was pleasantly surprised.
It was my first time at even just like a music festival like that.
Me too.
It's like an all-day thing. There's a bunch of artists. And it was Friday through Sunday, but we just went Saturday. It was really good. It was really
fun. I don't
know
how people do 3 days, though, because I am tired.
Yeah. No, yeah, my feet are hurting. And, like, I noticed my legs were sore today, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. We're literally on our legs for, like, I don't even know how many hours.
Yeah, like 9 at least.
Yeah. Because
we didn't get there at the start, but, I mean, we walked around and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really cool. And the food was good.
Mm-hmm.
The weather was amazing.
Yeah, it was perfect.
I didn't really know a lot of the artists, but I still had a lot of fun. Like, I would definitely go back. Even if I didn't know anyone next year, I would do it.
Yeah, same. Like I said, I'm just a huge fan of live music. Like, even if I don't really know it, like, I just love listening to it.
Covers, bars, love live music.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we saw Hozier, who we both like.
Yeah.
So that was really fun.
And King Princess.
King Princess was awesome. She's great. Everyone go look her up.
New favorite artist.
Tame Impala was there. They were really good.
I did not know, like, any of their songs, though.
I didn't either. I know a few of them.
I liked their vibe.
Yeah, cool vibes.
Cool vibes. Cool cover art.
Oh, yeah, they're,
Yeah, their cover art's sick.
Yeah.
I mean, just the whole thing. It's definitely an experience. Even if you don't know any of the artists, go. Go next year. It's sick.
Yeah, I feel like I want to go again.
Yeah, I definitely would.
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah, so that was our weekend. So we were also getting out and enjoying the weather. Like, I hope you guys are.
I hope you use sunscreen.
Yes, please. Everyone use sunscreen. Don't be like Kirby.
I burned my nose.
Your nose is red right now. It's embarrassing. So, yeah, I think this week we are going to do a little bit of a Memorial Day special, if you will, being it is the long weekend and a holiday. I figured we could maybe tie it in to a topic that we've been talking about. And it kind of is, like, it's a holiday, so we're going to take it easy this weekend, treat ourselves. So it's going to be shorter than usual. Because we have to celebrate the holiday too, so
thanks for understanding.
Yeah. So, we hope you guys are all having a fun weekend just like us. Maybe you're going to parties. Maybe you're going to some BBQs. perhaps even some hiking or camping.
?
Well, for those who are out there, maybe hiking or camping this beautiful weekend, we have a special episode just for you. But also, maybe hold off on listening to this one until after you're done, because you probably wouldn't be able to sleep. Because today, we're talking about the very, very recent case of the Appalachian Trail murder. Now, we might be cheating just a little bit this week. Just a little bit. Because this case didn't actually happen in New England, the actual story. It happened in Virginia.
But we did get it requested by one of our listeners.
Yes, somebody requested it because it happened very recent and it is a crazy story. So we figured, we need to give the people what they want. We're here to make you guys happy, you know what I mean? Also, in our defense, the Appalachian Trail does run through a lot of New England, and the accused is from Massachusetts. And like I said, we did get requests to cover this. So we're doing it, and we're not really sorry about it.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. I feel like that's probably, like, out now. Like, it's probably not a thing anyone says anymore.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I've used it all the time.
Yeah, that doesn't mean.
If I use it, it's fine.
You're right. I guess Demi Lovato uses it, right? She has that song.
Ooh. Does she?
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
No, she adds I'm in it.
You're right. And she also doesn't say hashtag. But
yeah, it's a little different.
Anyway, we're off topic. We are off the hiking path, if you will. All right. So the Appalachian Trail, guys, is the longest hiking-only footpath in the world, reaching about 2,200 miles. The trail spans 14 states, all the way from Maine to Georgia, and it includes Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, and Connecticut in New England. It averages about 3 million visitors per year. Some hikers, known as thru-hikers, attempt to hike the trail in its entirety in a single season. The most extreme hikers hike from one end to the other, then turn around and thru-hike the trail all the way back to the other end. And that's called a yo-yo. Like, that's, like, the terms that they use on the trail.
I feel like an insider.
Yeah. So the case we're bringing you this week has been all over the news as the Appalachian Trail murder. For the last couple of weeks, hikers have been on alert, warning each other about a hiker who was threatening others with a large knife.
There was an alleged machete attack on the Appalachian Trail where James Jordan, a 30-year-old male from West Yarmouth, Massachusetts, threatened to pour gasoline on hikers' tents and burn them to death. According to the documents filed in the United States District Court in Abingdon, Virginia, he was charged with murder and assault with the intent to commit murder. Allegedly, he approached a group of four unidentified hikers on a trail within the George Washington and Jefferson National Forests in southwestern Virginia. An FBI agent said in an affidavit filed in court that the hikers had reported their initial encounter, describing him as disturbed and unstable while playing a guitar and singing. At the campsite later in the night, he began randomly approaching their tents, making noises and threatening them. FBI Special Agent Micah Childers said Jordan, quote, spoke to the hikers through their tents and threatened to pour gasoline on their tents and burn them to death. Fearing Jordan, the four hikers decided to pack up and leave the campsite. Jordan then allegedly withdrew a knife. Two of the hikers ran as Jordan chased them, but Sheriff Thomas Roseberry of Bland County, Virginia, said that they managed to escape by turning the lights attached to their heads off, veering off the trail into the woods. The sheriff said they described this guy as talking crazy, following them down the trail. The two hikers ran north on the trail, called 911 at 2:30 a.m., and they told them that they were being chased by a man with a knife. Losing them and giving up the chase, Jordan then rounded back to the site near Mount Rogers National Recreation Area, and he met the other two remaining hikers, who then tried to run. He caught the third hiker and started arguing with him. The third hiker made an emergency call from his cell phone, and then Jordan allegedly began stabbing the third hiker's upper body. When the third hiker collapsed, the fourth hiker, a woman, ran. Jordan caught up with her, and documents claim she turned to face him, raised her arms as if to surrender when Jordan began stabbing her, and so she suffered several stab wounds, but then she fell to the ground and played dead. Jordan then left and returned to the campsite for his dog, Felicia. For weeks, he had stalked the trail with his dog, his beloved companion. After he left and the scene was safe, the woman who had pretended to be dead got up and ran down the trail. She eventually found two hikers who helped her hike another 6 miles to a spot where they dialed 911. The woman's condition wasn't immediately clear, but she was transported to a nearby medical center in Briston, Tennessee. Federal authorities said that she had been severely injured. As Jordan headed back and made his way down the trail, he approached another pair of backpackers who were asleep in their tent. He shouted at them that he needed a flashlight. The Wythe County Sheriff, Keith Dunnigan, said on a press briefing on May 12, 2019, that the two backpackers were, quote, real reluctant to talk to him. They thought it was a little unusual, they didn't even see the person, and luckily they didn't come out of the tent, end quote.
Yeah, I just want to say that that woman who survived is a boss-ass bitch, because she faked dead, and, like, I don't know, that's very impressive. And then she would just wait for him to leave, and, like, with all her stab wounds, she got up and, like, found help. Like, You go, girl.
And not only that, like, with her stab wound, she then walked another 6 miles.
Right. That's, like...
That's crazy.
And I think it was still nighttime in that, like, so it's dark.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's the adrenaline definitely helped. Like, definitely helped her.
You don't know if there's going to be someone there to help you. Like, you're just, like, walking, like, praying that.
Yeah, she must have been so relieved to just find two other people to walk with her.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, that's
insane.
Unreal.
So using pings from a nearby cell tower, authorities were able to ascertain the approximate location of the first stabbing. The tactical team of the Wythe County Sheriff's Office began a four-mile hike to the crime scene. The team arrived on site where the first attack had taken place. On Saturday, May 11th, 2019, authorities found the body of the male hiker who had died from the stab wounds and identified him as Ronald Sanchez Jr. Ron was a 43-year-old veteran of the United States Army. His ex-wife, Elizabeth Sanchez, said he had fought in Iraq and had been discharged from the Army in 2011 with PTSD and major depression after serving 17 years in the military as a combat engineer. Readjusting to civilian life was hard for Ron because he didn't like to talk about it and he didn't like being around people. But eventually he found that getting outside and walking around was a very efficient form of therapy for him. Nature offered him clarity and peace, and he even found a local hiking group and became an enthusiastic regular. Known on the trails as Stronghold, he decided that finishing a through hike on the trail would be a goal of his. Earlier this month, he set out to reach that goal. Sadly, it was cut short by the tragic events that occurred in the early morning hours of May 11th. And I know we said that his nickname on the trail was Stronghold. So something I didn't know, but I found out, like, through this research is that, like, people who do this, who, like, hike the trail, like, they have nickname, like, everyone has a nickname. But it's, like, you don't, like, give yourself a nickname. It's, like, you talk to people and you meet people and they're, like, oh, like, this is your nickname. Like, this is what you should be. And I thought that was, like, so cool.
That's so cool.
So he had met someone, like, on a hike. I think it was, like, a girl and her mother. And they were talking to him for a while. And they were, like, your name should be Stronghold. Like, you're strong. You were in the Army. And, like, you came back from depression and everything. So they kind of gave him that nickname. And he liked it. So he stuck with it. So authorities found Jordan shortly after at 6:14 a.m. with his dog. There was blood on Jordan's clothes, and they found a knife, which was described by the hikers as a machete and believed to be the murder weapon, which was found near the victim's body. There was a whole team up there, so he surrendered himself. He was identified by the female stabbing victim and the other two hikers who had originally fled. Because the Appalachian Trail is administered by the National Park Service, the FBI has the ultimate jurisdiction over any crime committed in there. Dee Rubinsky, a spokesperson for the FBI field office in Richmond, Virginia, confirmed by phone on Monday that the office's evidence response unit was gathering evidence on the trail. Jordan appeared in federal court on Monday, May 13th, 2019, which is less than a month ago, a couple weeks ago, in shackles in the U.S. District Court in Abingdon, Virginia, and said he understood the charges against him. Jordan was charged with murder and assault with intent to commit murder. Although, during the hearing, a judge ordered him to undergo a psychiatric evaluation while being held in custody.
Back in Jordan's childhood home in New England, the friends who had filled the void left by his broken family might have recognized what was happening. To them, Jordan was JJ, still a child and searching, damaged and vulnerable to delusions. A close friend recalls that when his paranoia flared, his pupils would dilate. His whole life, he had invaded treatment for his mental illnesses. He signed himself out of hospitals and refused medication, and his crimes were never quite serious enough to lock him up for long periods of time. Long before Jordan set out on the Appalachian Trail, known as the Sovereign, his life was grim and he was alone. Boston Globe interviewed with more than 20 people who knew Jordan, family, close friends, former neighbors, and traveling companions. They also drew on court records, including some from federal court, where Jordan is being held on a murder charge. Jordan spent his childhood living with his mother and his younger brother in a low-income housing on Cape Cod. He didn't know his father because he died of a drug overdose when he was 6. His mother, Dale Wilds, drank heavily, according to friends and neighbors, and allowed Jordan to wander without supervision. Neighbors say that they could hear fighting inside the apartment many times. He would stay days at a time with friends, although this is an account that Jordan's brother denies. Adults who knew Jordan back then said he was sweet, yet fragile, a budding guitar player who seemed in search of structure. He started drinking and using marijuana as a child, and he didn't seem to go to school regularly. By 13 or 14, he was arrested with a friend for breaking into a car and prosecuted in juvenile court. A neighbor says that his mother couldn't control him and eventually banned him from her apartment. She never forced him into treatment, but when he was doing better, she'd let him come back. Jordan's younger brother, Dustin Wilde, said Jordan trashed their house and refused to seek counseling. Quote, he was and is to this day insane and just a terrible person, end quote. His brother supposedly wrote this on a Facebook message to a reporter and also said, quote, my mother tried and tried, but there's only so much you can do before someone becomes a lost cause, end quote. Away from his family, Jordan was close with another teenager in the complex, and that boy's mother took Jordan in. The woman spoke to the Boston Globe, but wanted to remain anonymous and said she would cook for him, you know, standard dishes like mashed potatoes and meatloaf.
Blech, I don't like meatloaf.
I don't either. I don't know, but I like mashed potatoes. But Jordan told her he had never had them before. She then realized that no one had cooked him meals, full meals like this, and that he just ate the ingredients. They were pretty close, and Jordan would drape his arm around her shoulders and tell her, I love you, Ma. And she would reply, I love you too, kid.
As his home life started deteriorating, Jordan grew more erratic. His hair grew long and shaggy, and he painted his nails black. Oh my God, same. One friend hung out with Jordan, and they walked with a group through the woods and down to a pond. Jordan walked to the water's edge and scooped up a frog. Then he allegedly put the frog on the ground and stomped it dead. Then James Jordan took out a switchblade and tore the animal apart. In the end, neighbor said, the mother, Dale Wilds, got her son a tent and sent him out into the world. Jordan then floated between Vermont and Cape Cod selling drugs. He was kind of strange. He fixated on escape routes from whenever or wherever he was, or on the idea that people were talking about him. He was paranoid, basically. He was quick to anger and was obviously troubled, but until the winter of 2011, just before his 22nd birthday, his friends figured that was just JJ. Over time, he had a few run-ins with police, but the interactions were just seen as nuisance calls. One friend said that, quote, he thinks he's seeing something, another layer that's not always clearly there. Like he's seeing what's really real now, like a door opened up, end quote. Slowly, Jordan recovered back to somewhat himself, but he said he could no longer bear the smallness of his life, and in the summer of 2011, Jordan started hitchhiking, heading for Florida and then across the bottom of the United States to California. He seemed to find brief happiness in the wilderness, but he couldn't escape his racing mind. In June 2013, a year and a half after he took to the open road, he was arrested 3 times in quick succession in Bartlesville County. He was staggering shirtless down the road, fleeing police while screaming incoherently, fighting staff at the Cape Cod Hospital, insisting they were trying to give him a lethal injection, and walking naked near Cape Cod Airfield. A judge ordered a mental health evaluation, but Jordan was found to be competent and he was released, according to court documents. An audio recording of the court session where his mental health was discussed has been destroyed, which is a little fishy. Jordan wrote on Facebook shortly afterward, quote, extreme apathy and empathy has pushed me on the edge of existential nihilism. The wolf in me barely has tears left and is close to empty, end quote. Jordan kept moving from state to state, hooking up with fellow travelers across the country. By February of 2019, Jordan seemed to be deep in another bout of paranoia, when he and his dog Felicia attended an Osceola, Florida rainbow gathering, a congregation of travelers celebrating peace and love. He was convinced his food was being dosed with research chemicals, and someone who spent much of the gathering with him. He picked fights, and he was deeply afraid that he was going to be attacked. Weeks later, Jordan got a message from his younger brother Dustin. Their mother was dying of lung cancer. He had to come home. Jordan refused and just wrote back, quote, it's shitty. Have a nice life. Their mother died on March 2nd. Jordan didn't show up for the funeral, Dustin said. Instead, by April, Jordan was out on the Appalachian Trail in Tennessee in cargo pants and heavy boots with only a tarp for a tent, his dog at his side.
Many are asking, why wasn't something done sooner? Jordan was given the self-appointed nickname, Sovereign, and the captain of the hit squad, but it was well known among the other trail hikers. He was arrested last month, mid-April, in a separate incident on the Appalachian Trail in Tennessee after allegedly threatening other hikers. The hikers made their way to a hostel a day or two later, and they reported the incident to Mike Hensley, sheriff of Unicoi County in Tennessee. Hensley alerted authorities in North Carolina, who then observed him, but there was no warrant for his arrest, so they didn't detain him. Hikers reported him behaving strangely on April 21st, asking those who passed for a password, and on April 22nd, initiated an argument with trail angels, who were handing out food to those passing through. When officers found Jordan, he was intoxicated and gave them fake identification and a fake name. He was also carrying a 17-inch survival knife. He was then charged with criminal impersonation and drug possession and sentenced to probation. He was released after pleading guilty to possession of marijuana and other minor charges. The judge had ordered him not to return to the Appalachian Trail. Unfortunately, he was not held in custody because no one really wanted to step up and press charges. They were on the trail walking. They didn't want to turn around. It was kind of a nuisance for them. But news of the sovereign hiker made its way up to the trails. Apparently, a well-known former Appalachian Trail hiker, Matthew Odie Norman, encountered Jordan on May 2nd at a trailhead near Tennessee's Rowan Mountain State Park. Norman recognized Jordan's photo from his arrest photo, which was circulating in the trail community. Norman invited Jordan to dinner with the intention to get him off the trail for his own safety and the safety of others. Over dinner, Jordan told Norman that, quote, mountain people were being threatened by infiltrators who were trying to steal their instruments. And Jordan was on the trail to protect the mountain people from harm. Jordan said he had family in Maryland, and Norman offered him a Greyhound bus ticket, and Jordan accepted. Jordan and his dog Felicia boarded a northbound bus, but on May 3rd, they allegedly got off. On May 5th, there were more reports of backpackers who experienced very negative run-ins with Jordan around Shenandoah National Park. Unlike previous cases, this one was preceded by almost 6 weeks of complaints about Jordan's behavior. Brian King, a spokesman for the Appalachian Trail Conservancy, said the ATC were aware of reoccurring complaints and they were urging hikers to contact local authorities or call 911. They also asked their ridge runners, people who are located on the trail to assist and answer questions, to also alert hikers and authorities. It's unsure if there were warnings posted for hikers to see or if the picture was just circulating online in between different groups and websites. The threats were on the Appalachian Trail Conservancy and the officer radar, and Brian King said, quote, at this time of the year, the section of the trail in the southwestern Virginia area is usually packed with hikers and that they give a lot of safety advice, which people tend to follow, but with someone with an intent to do evil, how do you guard against that? End quote.
Former journalist Joseph White attended the Trail Days Festival, an event for Appalachian trail hikers in Damascus, Virginia, on the weekend of May 18th, which was like, what, last weekend? 2 weekends ago?
Yeah.
The Appalachian Trail murder was a hot topic of conversation at the festival, obviously. White mentions that while he was at the festival, he saw another hiker climb on top of a bus and shout to the crowd, quote, they will not break our spirit and they will not stop us from hiking, end quote. The crowd met the man with cheers and chants. When asked about how the incident might affect his plans to keep hiking, White had this to say, quote, this is not indicative of the AT community, which is the Appalachian Trail community. It could happen anywhere. It could happen on a playground. It could happen on a golf course. It could happen anywhere. This time it happened on the trail. It's a tragedy, but it hasn't affected how I'm hiking, end quote. Which, I mean, I feel like I agree with that. It's like, you can't just stop murders from occurring, so.
Right, and they actually just posted an article, like, yesterday, and it said that hikers, their biggest fear on hiking isn't, like, getting murdered or robbed. It's ticks.
Really? Yeah, I bet that's how most people die.
Yeah, Lyme disease.
Yeah.
So, if you guys are hiking out there, make sure you check your ankles, check your hair. Seriously. If you're walking under trees. It's pretty serious, but those silent buggers, they just suck your blood.
Yeah, and give you diseases.
Yeah, so you guys, when you're camping out there, be careful this week or next week. The weather's getting nicer, you're heading out. Just be aware, be alert, check for ticks.
Yes, make sure your cell phone's fully charged if you got to make a call.
Yeah, even though it probably won't help if you're going to a remote hiking area.
I guess. But you can always call 911, right?
Yeah, and pack your bags with snacks because if you have to hike 6 miles away from something,
you're
going to need
energy. That's like your number one priority.
Just make sure your water and snacks are packed.
I mean, yeah, definitely.
But that's from more, I think.
Sorry.
The not so average hiker. Anyone who's like an avid hiker, an actual hiker has probably got that covered.
So yeah, they have like packets of food that they like.
Yeah, like goo. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and all of this is why I just don't fuck with camping. Honestly.
Yeah.
This is not my world, but.
Oh, we didn't go camping. It was a hike, and it was in Alaska. And my uncle and I tried to find a waterfall. And it was like 5 miles up and 5 miles back. And it was the longest hike. We didn't bring water or food because we didn't even check the trail hike, but it was super long. And we get up there and he's a diabetic.
Oh God.
And we asked around and we were like, oh my God, no one has food. No one has water. I literally ran 5 miles down and 5 miles back because we were at the very top. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was insane. And I even at the park and they didn't have like any protocol at all. It's just like, they have to hike up too, to get to you. Like there's no quick way in the forest in nature. So
that was like one of the really interesting things about this is like
they had to hike in there.
Like police had to hike up in there and like to get evidence and stuff. Like everyone just had to hike around and like look around. So it's really hard to get the help you need.
Yeah, which is just crazy. So you guys, if you're going up, just be prepared.
Be prepared, stay safe, and get an awesome nickname.
Yeah, but remember, you can't give it to yourself because
you can't. That's not how it works on the Appalachian Trail, baby.
Yeah. All right.
I think that's it. I think we wanted to just give a short, really fun not fun. Oh my God.
I think we just wanted to give a really short, sweet episode.
Sweet.
Anyone who's driving in traffic, long traffic back to wherever you're headed.
Yikes. Heading back from the Cape. I feel for you.
Mm-hmm. So you can give us a little listen.
Yeah, why don't you go back, scroll back, listen to the first of our few episodes.
I like that. Go back, scroll back.
Yeah. Re-listen if you want.
Yeah.
Eh.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Happy Memorial Day.
Bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.